you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, January 15th, 2016. And wow, what an incredible week. Monday and Tuesday, Jim and Nancy Miller, they talked about preparedness and crisis relief and helping out during times of tornadoes or tragedies, and gave some really good input and insight. In fact, after the program, Huey Freeman texted me and said, "Great program. I want to get a hold of them and do a story about Jim and Nancy Miller for the Decatur Herald and Review." Oh. So I was encouraged about that. And then on Tuesday, we had Melanie Jackson. They had their grand reopening of the Phoenix there in Champaign, and she talked about one winter night and raising awareness for those without an address and how people can get involved, whether they become box dwellers or raise funds or donate towards helping those without an address in the greater Champaign Urbana area. And then on Wednesday, we hadn't done this, I think, in years, maybe ever, where we kind of featured a song. It was In Christ Alone by Keith and Kristen Getty, and just talked about the importance of putting Christ first and foremost and following after him. Our good friend Joey Kroll took the Thursday lineup and shared his good devotional thoughts. And then today, it's the official. Usually I say this, and I really never know until afterwards. And I thought, oh, why did I say 80 or 90? It's the 89th time on Friday we've looked at this book of Acts. So 89 times, you figure there's only...
I've had some friends who have told me, this is an awfully long time.
Yeah, this will be the 89th. So maybe next week, if we do the official 90th, I will have cupcakes or something.
No, on the 100th. You got to do on the 100th. Okay. I mean, we're definitely going to go to 100. So yeah, on the 100th, I
okay,
mean.
Okay, 100th. Oh, which
reminds me. And that goes by week. So that means that would put us at over 2 years.
And realizing that over 2 years, because there were Christmas weeks and other special programming, and sometimes we had
a
dedicated
day. Get a watch
or
something. Sheesh.
No, that's at 10 years. Remember, that's what happened with John MacArthur's ministry. Hey, which reminds me of the 20th year celebration. You can go to our website now, greatnewsradio.org, and RSVP your intentions on whether you're going to attend. And the first 500 families, there'll be one gift box per family that signs up and registers for our April 7th event. We'll get a little gift box filled with coupons and knickknacks and novelty items. It's going to be some good stuff. You're going to want it, from appetizer coupons to discounts at businesses or area restaurants. And so greatnewsradio.org, get your RSVP in, so we know how many chairs to set up, how much cake and ice cream and desserts to have. Who knows? We might even have some coffee and some other things there. And I know you and I had talked about this earlier in the week, Jason, but there may be a few of you that have never heard of or don't know about the ministry work and legacy of Dr. Erwin Lutzer. I don't even know. Probably 40, 50, many books he's authored, many best-selling books he's authored. Pastor at the Moody Bible Church. He's the current host of Running to Win. He's been hosting that program for many years, and just fantastic. He's going to bring a message for our Great News Radio listeners that I think you'll be very blessed by, and including in that evening on Thursday night, April 7th, we'll have the Singing Men of GNN open up the program. We'll have the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. They're still working on a script on whether it'll be a spoof on, I don't know if I'd say a spoof. I know Huey wanted to know some of my stories, and I was trying to think, are they going to, like, I don't know. We'll see what they come up with.
I hope you're going to vet this thing.
Yeah. Or they might parallel a drama with Dr. Lutzer's message. So we'll see how that all comes together. And we're even talking about a pre-event event so children and others can come and maybe not stay for the 7 p.m. to 8:30 formal program. They might come in the afternoon, like say 4:30, and we'll have some games and treats and snacks and have some fun beforehand. But we're still working out those details. Dr. G. Brainwork Parks might do something. Ooh. There at Lincoln Square Mall in the cafeteria area. There's a bunch of tables, and I'm even trying to work with some of the restaurants there to provide some discounts for the Great News Radio listeners if they come early and have dinner there at the mall. There's a Chinese restaurant, another restaurant there, and we'll see. We'll have more details, but stop by greatnewsradio.org. Get your RSVP in. It's a real easy way to sign up, your name, your email address, phone number, and then there's a few different questions because we might have Dr. Lutzer books available and some other things. And you might even say my family or our business would like to be a sponsor, because we'll be featuring some of the sponsors that are helping underwrite the cost of this event and helping with other things. So there's some creative ways where we at Great News Radio can thank you for helping provide this for our great listeners. And we're expecting many people, 1,000 plus, I hope, and it'll be a great time just to gather together. So many of you will be receiving a little flyer. If you gave a donation throughout the year of 2015, you'll get that in your thank you letter. And then in the coming days, we'll send it out to people that request it. But it's a real neat little flyer. It's a two-pager, and it highlights this evening that's open to each and every one of you. But we just need to know who's going to be there so we can set up the appropriate amount of chairs and have all the fixings. So Great News Radio. .org, and look for the 20th anniversary logo, and it'll be easy. Just fill it out and expect a blessing. We'll probably contact you a week or two out just if there's any updates or more information. That's why it's important to RSVP so we have your email address. Oh, let's see. So the Book of Acts. So let's see. Anything else we need to do before we pray up the program?
No, let's go into it.
I should say to our listeners, you and I always pray up the program before we get behind these microphones, but we want to include you in this prayer just because it maybe can ground you. Maybe you're busy on the way to work, or your mind's kind of filled with a lot of other thoughts, or you just got in a fight with your spouse, or there's some other issues or pressing things on you. And just to pause right now and go before the throne and see what God would have to say to all of us through the words that are penned in this Book of Acts. Mm.
Father, we just pray you would be the meditations of our hearts and of our minds, that we would listen for you and hear from you. Father, I pray that these words that Paul had penned thousands of years ago would be as poignant in our life today as they were in the lives of the people that he spoke them to. Father, we pray that your words would be the thing that would give us life today, the things that we would draw life and hope, and that we would feel a deep sense of love from. So, Father, we pray right now just for the work of your word in our lives, Father, whether we're in the car or on the go, or, Father, we're at work or we're at home sipping coffee. Father, we pray that we would just make ourselves available to hear from you and to listen to you, and, Father, to be enriched and to be loved and encouraged by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And so Paul, writing to the Ephesian elders, well, Paul here talking to the Ephesian elders, he says, I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come
in. And let's say we're in chapter 20.
Oh, yeah, chapter 20. Mark likes to keep me on track here. We're in chapter 20, around verse 29. And Paul, we talked about this last week, but Paul says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. So, you know, God has made these Ephesian elders. He's made you. I don't care who you are. I always tell people you're leading somebody. Somebody you are leading, whether it's a family, whether you've got a spouse, whether you've got your job. I mean, somebody is leading somebody. You have a sphere of influence where you have leadership in and where God has given you oversight. It may not be a church, but every single one of us have been given ministry opportunities, and we are all, the Bible says, priests, because we have the Holy Spirit as our deposit. So here, Paul says that fierce wolves are going to come in, because wherever there is the Spirit of Christ, there will be opposition from the world, opposition from Satan. And so that's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 13 that we need to prepare our minds, because we need to gird ourselves up in preparation for when opposition comes. And so Paul is telling this to the Ephesian elders here. He's saying opposition will come, and they will come in the form of fierce wolves, these pack hunters, and they will come in and they won't spare the flock, which means they will devour as many as they can. They are ruthless. Ruthless. And it says, and, beginning of verse 30, and from amongst your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. My gosh, what a verse right there. Because you know what's interesting?
Sadly.
It really is. It's sadly and scary. is that oftentimes some of the greatest damage to the church comes from within the church. One of the verses that I love to hate, it comes in Jude. Jude, in the first chapter here, it says in verse 4, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." He's saying there are people who are inside the church, inside the wire, who have crept in silently. They look like you, they talk like you, they think like you, and yet they change the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into a license for immorality. And if we look across the church landscape today, friends, as we look across, there are places where we can see that this happens. I don't even have to be creative to look and tell you where these are at. I mean, churches that are saying that marriage can be redefined as to be something other than what the Bible says, marriage between a man and a woman. Churches that will say that, you know, we just got to love people and we don't have to in any way correct them or judge them or hold them to any standard of truth. Churches that will say that, you know what, the Word of God, it may say this, but what it really means is this. No, what it really means is what God says. God has spoken. God called you to be His messenger, not His editor. And so, you know, we have people who say, well, the Old Testament is just stories and poems, and don't you know the Apostle Paul, he doesn't matter either. And I've heard all of these, and it seems like a merry-go-round that broke down that just keeps going round and round. You know, when I was young, my grandmother used to sing this song, "The merry-go-round broke down, it made an awful sound." And that's what it makes me think, because this merry-go-round that goes around, this merry-go-round of heresy, of half-truths, of a merry-go-round where every one of the animals is a fierce wolf that you sit on, and this merry-go-round, it broke down, and it makes an awful sound. And that awful sound is the denial of Jesus Christ, the denial of Christ as Lord. And just a couple places that we would go, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. It says, "I urged you when I was in going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations, rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith." And so what he's saying here to Timothy is, he's saying, look, there's these guys who are more interested in myths, and guys who are more interested in endless genealogies and speculation. You've heard those guys, haven't you? They masquerade as though they're pastors. They masquerade as though they believe in God and that they're in pulpits, and they say things like, "Well, I'm just asking a question." Listen, the Bible is not about asking a question. The Bible is about making proclamations, because God proclaimed His Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior through His Word. And so I'm always wary when somebody says, "Well, I'm just asking questions." Because the office of the pastor is not to ask questions. The author of the pastor is to proclaim the Word of God. What does Paul say to the Ephesian elders? "I didn't hesitate to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." He didn't say to the Ephesian elders, "Well, I'm just asking you questions. What if the virgin birth didn't happen?" He didn't say that at all. He says, "I didn't hesitate to declare to you the whole counsel of God, all of it, every stinking bit of it, the parts you don't like, the parts you love, every single bit of it, the parts that are difficult for me." You know, and I'll make this admission. You know, I have a family member of mine. She's a niece who is a practicing lesbian. And when we get together, it is very difficult, because I'm not going to move off of the Word of God. That is where, as we talked about on Wednesday when we talked about the In Christ Alone, that's where my hope is found. How can I deny my hope? And how loving would it be for my little niece who is struggling, I think struggling with this sin, how loving would it be if I abandoned truth and love and hope so that I could make her feel good in her sin? That would be utterly unloving, absolutely unloving. To do the most loving thing I can do is to let her know that I'm going to love you in the midst of your sin, but I'm going to tell you that you're in sin, mm-hmm. and I'm not moving off this hope, because at some point this hope will be a beacon for you as you come back home, as you come back to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so Paul warns the Ephesian elders that there are these people who are on the inside. You know, I think that sometimes, we've heard it, I mean, maybe if you're listening right now, your story was, "I was in a church and I got hurt somehow." Because we go into churches, and oftentimes we think churches are safe places. I can let my guard down. I can just let it all go. And churches are places just like everywhere else. Satan loves to come in and do work in churches, loves to come in and attack in churches. And that's why it's so important for a body of believers to pray together, to be united in one spirit and one flesh. That's why it's important that we worship together, together, not disjointed, because that's when the wolves come in and not sparing the flock, that we come in. That's why it's important that a church prays together. That's why it's important that a church proclaims the Word of God on Sunday morning, and its congregants and its people hear the Word of God being exhorted and exposited. That's why it's important that we do these things, because that's what girds our churches up and prepares our churches up. It's the only thing that will stand. What did Christ say? Tribulation will come, but I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world, and by the proclaiming of the word, you proclaim that Jesus overcame the world. And that's the only way. That's the only way you and I are going to become overcomers. And he goes on to say, he says, therefore be alert. That means stop falling asleep. You know, gosh, I don't even want to say it.
The word complacency coming into mind?
Well, the word complacency, or, you know, I mean, I've had people who have said to me, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just so tired, I fell asleep. And I'm like, the Word of God was opened. The worship of God was happening. And you couldn't move yourself from that sleep, that slumber. You know, Paul says some of you have fallen asleep. You know, be alert. Be alert, my friends. This isn't just today that hangs in the balance. This is eternity. And not only is this eternity, but this is the eternity of those people on your right and on your left who might not know who Jesus Christ is at. And you've fallen asleep on the couch.
I'm thinking of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and what he said to his disciples. You could not even stay awake.
Yeah. Couldn't even stay awake. You know, sometimes I just have to laugh, you know, because we treat sometimes, and I want to be so kind here. I really want to be so kind, but I also want to tell you the truth because that's part of my job. We treat going to church like we treat everything else. And yet I wonder if some of us realize that this book was penned by God himself. I mean, if God showed up to your church on a Sunday morning, if your pastor got up and he said, you know, we have a special guest this morning, I'd like you to, and then all of a sudden it's kind of an Isaiah 6 moment where the whole congregation is whisked up and there's thousands upon ten thousands of be holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, you'd be awake. You wouldn't even be going, I wonder what time lunch is. You would be awake in the worship and the glory and the majesty of God. And yet, when we gather in our churches, sometimes what we do is we go, well, it's that book. You know, and some of us have Bibles that look really good in terms of they're all weathered. But that's not because you've been in it. That's because it's been in your back seat. And it's been covers folding up and it's curling over. And let me just tell you, when we gather together, when we sing and we exalt the name of Jesus Christ on Sunday mornings, or maybe you do it Sunday night, or maybe you do it Saturday night, or maybe you do it during the week, whenever church kind of happens for you, when you're doing that, you are in the very presence of God. You are worshiping God. And so let's worship God as God, because I'm really fearful for some of us that our church experience is kind of like Romans chapter 1. They knew God, but they didn't worship him as God. Which means they didn't stand in light of his glory with a reverence and an awe. What does God say as he writes to the Hebrews? We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but the very last chapter, the end of Hebrews, where it says that you will worship God with reverence and awe because he is a consuming fire. That consuming fire is a picture of your worship and that purifying yourself of all thoughts that are apart from God. That as you come to worship him and you come into that place of worship with him, that the meditations of your heart and your mind become upon him and him alone. And so be alert, not just be alert for those who have secretly snuck in, who want to change the grace of our Lord and Savior into a license for immorality, but be alert for the glory of God that you can exalt and see and worship with awe and reverence. Be alert for the moments where God wants to purify your heart of all ungodliness, of all the junk that got cluttered up in there all last week and all that. You came to church and you were just feeling frustrated and you were feeling angry and the world was pounding you down all week, and you got to get in there and be alert for that moment, because God is going to purify you. He's going to cleanse you.
Let me jump in here and give a couple practical, maybe, examples, because I'm sure there's some good, healthy conviction going out right now, and I'm feeling it too, because there's been times, as intentional as I wanted to be engaged and attentive to the message, even you, Jason, how anyone could fall asleep with you preaching, but there have been times when I've been there and I've been tired, and I've had to really examine my schedule and how am I preparing myself on Saturday night for Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I've really had to simplify or minimize some things or turn down some activities because really Saturday night I need to be rested so I can be engaged and attentive. And I want to be, but there's been some times because of scheduling or workload where I'm frustrated because you want to be attentive to the message and yet your body just can't. And so maybe as a way of practical suggestions is look at your Saturday schedule. Are you being mindful that on Sunday you want to be alert and active and engaged? And so get rested and, you know, slow down or whatever. Work on your schedule. And for some people it might mean, okay, this next three Saturdays are booked, but I'm going to be intentional come February 1st or by March to make sure my Saturday nights are freer so I can sleep properly or whatever.
Yeah, I think that we don't spend enough time preparing ourselves for worshiping God. We don't spend our time. If you think about in the Old Testament how the priests would spend time washing and cleansing and putting the garments on slowly and putting the ephod on and all the steps that would go into that moment of worship and awe and expectation at what God was going to do. And we need to do the same. We need to be about that because He is God. He is God. I can't even come up with the right words to kind of articulate for you the mindset that has to be there, but He is God. He is not like we treat everything else. And I love what Paul says as he closes this to the Ephesian elders in 13. He says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Listen, friends, as we bring this word to you today, what we are doing, it's not simply filling up another station on the airwaves with noise. We're not simply trying to offer you some sort of something to help you feel better today. This isn't a devotional time. We're not offering you a moment to reflect and to think about and to ponder your Christian faith. We are, my friends, commending you to the Word of God and to His grace. This is the Word of God, and God has spoken through it. And therefore, we commend you to Him and to His Word, to its truth, and we commend you to it that it will build you up, that it will build you up in a way that you have never been built up before, and that it will make you better than you have ever been before, because you'll realize how little you have to offer and how much Christ Himself has to offer through you and in you and for you. And so, friends, from the Ministry of Greatness Radio, we commend you to the Word of God and to its truth. Amen.
Amen. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.